May the words of my heart and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The family road trip. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm tired. Are we there yet? I have to go to the bathroom. I'm bored. The family road trip. Planned for weeks, perhaps months. Everyone is excited about where they will end up. Disneyland, camping, the beach. So focused on the destination. We can't wait to get there. But first, the journey begins. We are not so good at the journey part. Moses, too, was dealing with all of these same frustrations, driving God's children on a journey to the land of milk and honey. The children of Israel going to the promised land. And on the way, they too complained bitterly. We're hungry. We're thirsty. I wish we never left Egypt. I'm sick of this manna. Life is a journey, not a destination. It's trite, but true. Sometimes we get to plan parts of our journey, but at other times it is planned for us. It happens to us. We are forced onto a journey we'd rather not take. Just as we've been forced to journey through this COVID pandemic, and we've now spent about 7 months wandering through this particular wilderness, full of uncertainty, misinformation, fear, no clear end in sight. But as it was for the children of Israel, these tough journeys are necessary. And just as the wind and the water and the rain and the sand shape the earth and the rocks, the elements we encounter on our journeys shape us, they form us, and sometimes wear us down. And when we've eroded away the outer crusty layers, or when they've eroded away the outer crusty layers of the worldly facade we have built up over so many years, we are finally faced with, who am I? Who am I becoming? Who is God asking me to be? And then we begin an entirely different journey. It took longer than 40 years for the children of Israel to work through those questions. It took generation upon generation, over hundreds and hundreds of years, learning to become an entirely new people. They had to work through some rebellion and resistance and obedience issues first. This transformation takes up almost all of the Old Testament. And it all began when an enslaved people lifted up their cries in misery, and God heard their invitation. God is waiting for our invitations too. As the wonderful Richard Rohr, a Franciscan friar who lives in the US, says in his book, The Universal Christ, God does not come uninvited. God and grace cannot enter without an opening from our side, or we would be mere robots. God does not want robots, but those who freely choose. And toward that supreme end, God seems quite willing to wait, cajole, and entice. I remember when I was in grade 3 and schools were still saying the Lord's Prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance, and we had some kind of Bible time before lessons began. There was a picture taped on the cloakroom door of a man with long hair, wearing a robe, knocking on a door. And my teacher selected me to come up and look at this picture and tell the class if I could see a handle or a doorknob on the door. Well, of course, and many of you may remember this picture or have seen a similar one, this was a picture of Jesus knocking on the door of our hearts, and it could only be opened from the inside to invite him in. So there was no handle or doorknob to be seen in the picture on the outside where he stood knocking. I was massively confused. In my 8-year-old experience, of course, doors had handles on them. What could I possibly be missing? Well, of course, I was too young to get it then, at that point on my journey. And when I was around 18 years old, I was camping with my siblings in Northern Ontario, and I went out to sit by myself on a rocky promontory jutting out into the lake. At the time, I was struggling to reconcile my understandings of God and church and faith. I hoped to receive a sign. I did not invite God to join me. I demanded that God show himself. I was actually yelling out, "Come on, if you're God and you're all powerful, why don't you just show yourself? How hard can it be? You're God." I was 10 years older, but obviously not yet much wiser. And if he had suddenly appeared and I had my evidence, well, I could be no more than a robot. No freely choosing there. A few years later in university, I was studying for my BA with the intention of going on to theological studies and a Master of Divinity. I was trying to articulate my positions on faith in response to those who questioned, even accused me of caving in to religious dogma. And I so struggled mightily to articulate that to them and to myself. Still lots of molding and forming going on. I obtained my undergrad degree, but obviously wasn't ready to proceed to the next step. God sent me in another direction first. Fast forward to a few years later, I journeyed again, following my husband to Calgary, arriving with a 1-year-old on my hip, landing far away from all of my immediate family. And not long afterwards, we journeyed through the front door of St. George's. And here, within this faithful community, I was invited and welcomed and nurtured. And within this community, God has continued to mold and form and love me through so many faith and life lessons. A rather onerous task at times for God, I'm sure, and certainly an ongoing one. Just as he continues to mold and form and love each one of us on our own particular journeys. As I reflect on my journey a week away from ordination, I think about how long I tried to plow through depending solely on my own resources. And I complained and whined mightily along the way, just like the children following Moses through the wilderness. It was only over time and some hard-learned lessons that I began to appreciate how important is companionship on this journey. It does take a village, even for grown-up children of God. and I had not yet invited God on the journey with me. I always understood he was kind of hovering about, always there somewhere, and he was, but he was waiting for my invitation, waiting, cajoling, and enticing. I've been at St. George's since September 1983, 37 years. And each one of you in this faith community are a very large part of who I am and where I am so far, for I am certainly still journeying. And for this, I give you my heartfelt love and thanks. Most of all, I would likely not be at this point on the journey without the prayerful listening, encouragement, and mentorship of Reverend Clara over more than a few years of discussion, discernment, and inward journeying. Faith journeys are not solo trips. And that is why Paul wrote all of those letters, like the one we heard today to the Philippians. Letters to new Christian communities, encouraging them in their formation as they journeyed together, as they were becoming a new people of God. And it's important to say that my journey and where it has led me so far is not in any way elevated above anyone else's in this parish. It is quite simply that once we have extended that invitation, God calls each of us to walk our own particular journey to discover who I am becoming, and who God is asking me to be. And as we journey on through likely yet another year of COVID, and as we prepare to enter our new church home sometime in 2021, the same questions apply to us as a faith community. Who are we? Who are we becoming? Who is God asking us to be? We've been on a heck of a journey so far together. One that has molded and formed us into a very special and extraordinary community. God has led us through our hardships and challenges, not around them, but directly through them. God continues to be present and lead us on our journey as a church and a community. And by this, we are strengthened and filled with hope for the rest of the journey ahead. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.